You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
From our studio to yours, this is Various Artists.
Ahi ahi māori e, tēnā koutou katoa, ko Sof tōku ingoa, nō mai haere mai ki Various Artists mō tēnei wiki. We have no mayor today, unfortunately. She's going camping, which is lovely, but just me in the studio today. We do, however, have a lovely show. Mayor caught up with artist Freya Burnett alongside accompanying sound artist Fergus Waveforms about her show Essence, currently on at the Arts House Trust at Pa Homestead. And I had a kōrero with Kaitohu Director of Arts Space Aotearoa, Ruth Buchanan, about After the Undercurrents, an exhibition showing Gordon Bennett and Emily Karaka opening tonight. He aha o whakaro, we would love to hear your thoughts on these pieces, so tuku pātuhi mai. You can text us on 5395 rima toru iwa rima waiamairane, or give us a call in the studio on 309 3879. Also, after the show, koe e wareware e ahe ana koutou te whakarongo ki e nei kōrero anō hei pakihere rokiroki maronga i te pai tokutoku o irirangi pōho me haere ki 95BFM irakati.com. You can catch all of these chats and more by podcast on the 95BFM website, 95BFM.com. Let's get into the show.
Only positive critiques. Honest.
Various Artists.
Freya Burnett is a Tamaki-based multidisciplinary artist whose work delves into the thematic exploration of magic and female ecstasy through her sculpture and immersive moving image installation practice. Her current exhibition, Essence, on at the Arts House Trust at Pa Homestead, presented in association with Plomacy Gallery, showcases a memorizing textural landscape of the senses through projected imagery and a sonic soundscape created by Fergus Waveforms. Essence pulls viewers into its feminine vocabulary of imagery that shifts and morphs in space through each stage of the work's existence. Dewdropped botanical imagery slipping into mirrored jewels and refelting light like one and the same, blurring the lines between objects and pulling them into their own enchanting visual realm. Coming together in an ephemeral fugue, Fergus's constructed sonic soundscape pulls the work further into its own interior atmosphere, creating a space of layered visual languages that usher viewers into an alternative world that seeks for a conscious and passionate embrace of enchantment. Mayor caught up with artist Freya Burnett alongside accompanying sound artist Fergus Waveforms about the show.
My name is Freya. I am a recent graduate in 2024 from the master's program at Wycliffe. I make moving image and immersive installation sculpture-based works.
Hello, I'm Fergus Waveforms. I am an electronic musician and DJ, and I work with Freya, who's my sister, to create soundscapes for her art.
Gorgeous. And I'd like to start this conversation by speaking to the kind of beginnings of your current show, Essence, on at the Arts House Trust at Pa Homestead, which showcases a mesmerizing textual landscape of the senses through projected imagery and a sonic soundscape. How did this specific work gain its initial momentum? Did it come off the back of another project or find its footing with something new?
Oh, thank you. I really love that description. That's really nice.
Thanks.
Initially when I was completing my master's, so it's a two-year program, I was, for the first year, I was really obsessed with tinfoil, and I was making a lot of these, like, kind of crazy tinfoil sculptures. And I was just, like, really interested in that material. And, yeah, I wanted to sort of subvert and, like, reinvent that household material. And I then ended up feeling, like, quite suffocated by the, like, thingness of the sculptures towards the end of the year. So I'd been sort of interested in doing moving image for a while, and my supervisors in the course, everyone was sort of pushing me a little bit to do it. And so I was like, fine. I sort of did it to, like, tick a box almost. Yeah. I was like, fine, everyone wants me to do this. But then I was like, damn, this feels really nice. Like, it felt really nice when I did it. And I remember feeling like, it was a lot of, although loved doing the tinfoil sculptures, it was like a lot of struggle. like it felt like a big struggle a lot of the time. But with the moving image, I was like, oh, this like feels really light, and I felt like quite peaceful making them.
Oh wow.
Which was nice. So I wasn't I felt like quite free from doing that. And I know that every medium has its sort of like nichely like evil, terrible parts to it.
Yeah.
But for me, moving image, I was like, damn, that's like giving me a bit more than it was like taking from me.
Mm.
And I was like surprised. I was like, what's so fun.
Wonderful. Yeah, this moving image work is so beautifully transcendent. The way it shifts and morphs in space through each stage of its existence. Dewdrop botanical imagery seeping into mirrored jewels and reflecting light like one and the same, blurring the lines between objects and into its own enchanting visual language. Freya, do you want to speak a little bit to the use of imagery within your work? What is the significance of the specific imagery that you're pulling from and using within the work?
Wow, I love your description. It's not like a song. So I pull a lot from, again, with the moving away from sculpture, I was like, damn, do I need to own all these things that I'm using? Because I initially was like getting things from the op shop and using things I owned and like going out to like get these things, collect them, bring them back. And like I was like making these like sort of like nests, putting my glass things around me and like making these things.
Oh, cute.
But then I was like, damn, do I really need to even like have all these things? So then I started going out, and like a lot of the botanic imagery I got from, like, I shot a digital camera and went to like the Winter Gardens, which is like a really iconic, beautiful spot. And I was and using sort of just being quite like passionate about noticing things around me as I was like walking to work or out doing stuff on the weekends, and I'm like sort of collecting that imagery as I go. Some of the things you might notice in the exhibition, I was like taking photos of jewelry I have, or I took a photo of like a vase at my mum's house, and I'm excited for her to see the show because it's like, oh, is she gonna notice? So yeah, collecting imagery from sort of around me. And I wanted to create these like assemblages of things that I was really like drawn to, and had like, I was like wanted other people to notice the sort of like magic that I saw in that object.
Yes.
I feel like a lot of it is very textural and tactile. I notice that whenever people are describing the work, they're always like wiggling their fingers in the air.
Very nice. And you've already kind of talked about your move into moving image and projection, but I wanted to delve a bit more into it about like what about moving image and projection as a medium and its like inherent materiality interests you and kind of offers to your visual language.
Yeah, I think like using a projector is, this sounds really silly, but using a projector is like, you can really transform a space and it feels like really spiritual. Like you're using, you like have this power, you're like working with the light and you can really manipulate that light and you can change a space so quick, like you can edit a space live with a projection, which I found really cool. Like I'm like, you're transforming the space and it's like the projection's like, it's like a ghost and twirling and like whispering all over the space. I was like, that's really cool. So that's what really draws me to projection. And I love that you can just turn it off and it's gone. Like it vanishes. That is really special to me. And it makes it feel exciting because like you have to be there to see it and then it's gone.
I've also seen in some of your previous work as well, you've played quite a lot with like altering the projection through like projecting it through like a prism or stuff like that. It feels like you're playing with light as an object as well as just projecting images on the wall.
Like the projection has its own agency in itself and as a material. And I wanted to speak a little bit more to your making process, Freya, this kind of process between taking those photos and collecting those objects to that morphing, beautiful, moving image. What's that process kind of like?
Yeah, so I do work digitally for the most part, but I think what I'm finding quite interesting with my process at the moment is, like, that does feel like one of the last steps. I draw a lot, and I notice shapes around me a lot, and also I'm trying to draw heaps, so, like, collecting maybe, like, little collage bits, and I'll put it in a journal, and sort of using that to, like, maybe think of a composition of how I want to lay out these assemblages. Yeah. And then also I'll, like, when I take the photos, I'll put them in, like, different folders of sort of what I'm thinking about putting them together. So I have, like, a sort of pinks and, yeah, like, different sort of...
Yeah, so it's still, it comes from that really physical sculptural place, which I find really interesting, because I think someone maybe wouldn't quite notice, like, when you see a moving image. So yeah, that's really lovely how it's still got this really tactile quality to it in relationship to your body in the making process.
Yeah, I'll be, like, pouring all these, more so when I was doing the a work I did, it was called Brain Bath for a Beautiful Brain and Sprites. I was really playing with those liquids, and I had, like, all these glass dishes and, like, an overhead projector. So I was like, and I would make these, it sounds kind of crazy, but I would make, like, a collage, and then I'd scan it, and then I'd put it in Photoshop, change the colors, print it out again on a piece of OHP paper, and, like, put it behind the glass bowl, and then be, like, pouring, like, Sprite into the bowl, and then putting beads in the bowl, and, like, swirling it around. Like, I was really, like, making a potion.
Yeah.
But you might not sort of be able to see that when you see the digital, but I was, like, really getting my hands dirty with it, even though it might not seem like that with the, but yeah, I do really love just, I use Photoshop and After Effects and Premiere Pro to sort of achieve the final look, I guess.
Wonderful. And accompanying this beautiful ephemeral imagery, Fergus constructed the soundscape to be played alongside your work, pulling the work further into this enchanted atmosphere. Fergus, do you want to speak a little bit more to the soundscape? How did you go about creating this beautifully layered sound work to accompany this piece?
Well, we've worked together on quite a number of years now, since your show at Demo was the Shiny Portal to the Shiny Labyrinth, and that one I played live, so I did a live accompaniment with synthesizers and loopers, and I used a bit of, like, percussion and water and stuff. So I'm kind of generally just sort of reacting to the visual world that Freya makes, and, you know, because we're siblings, like, we have, you know, a lot of shared references and stuff, so it's very easy and fun to work together. It feels like just, you know, playing, and I really enjoy that. So whenever I see the images, I can kind of picture pretty easily hear easily in my brain what it would sound like, and kind of usually I'm pretty on the mark. Sometimes I need to dial it back, but I think, you know, it's very easy to work with Freya. So this one in particular, I was looking at the works, and they made me think of, like, the idea of imaginary objects, so that there were these giant objects that were kind of floating in space, in, like, some kind of either a temple or a museum or something, that you might see in a dream or on some kind of mystical experience. And so I imagine that they were sort of just gently pulsating and floating there. They're kind of, like, felt quite solid but also ethereal. And so in order to get that sort of sound, I tried a few different things, but it came down to actually using a recording of birds that I'd captured on my phone on a walk in the park near my house, Te Awanga Creek. And then I put it into my Ableton Live software, reversed it, and put it through a whole lot of processing, so it sounds nothing like birds, but it sounds like this sort of crystallized sound, which I guess is kind of similar to what Freya's doing of alchemically altering these different pieces of material through different mediums to come up with this like crystalline result. So that's kind of how I got there. And then I think there was probably some samples of like water and water pouring and stuff, which again, just heavily processed. And so I wanted to make sure that this one felt, because it's a video work, that it felt very kind of sculptural. So it kind of, not a lot happens throughout the piece, but it keeps consistent and it will accompany these imaginary objects as they float in space, and kind of it feels very solid, even though as soon as the projectors and speakers are turned off, they're gone.
Yeah, these two elements come together in such a beautiful, seamless fugue. Together, you guys have created this very intentional, curated space of layered visual languages that bring viewers into this alternative realm adjacent to that of the wider gallery space, really leaning into the work's own interior by creating this parallel interior through the dim lighting and the white fur-covered bench. Is building that curated space for the work to sit in and for the viewers to experience the work really important for you and the work itself and what it's trying to communicate?
Yeah, totally. When I'm thinking of the space, I want it to feel like this, like, all-encompassing, like, I wanted that one to really feel like a cocoon and this, like, quite precious space. Almost like maybe the inside of, I think of like interior states and like inner worlds, I guess, and like how special and precious that can be. And I wanted the essence to sort of visually articulate like the precious nature of that sort of state.
I feel like this one, this essence work, it is supposed to be, it feels like a sanctuary or or kind of a safe sort of sacred environment that you might experience in like a beautiful nature or in like a place of spiritual worship or something. Mm. So it's a place that when people go into the art gallery, they can kind of allow themselves to just be there and absorb the feeling, and I hope it gives people a kind of sense of wonder or peace or something that they can take away into their daily lives and maybe come back to it from time to time and think about it.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful, intimate pocket within quite the vast and quite grand gallery.
That it's
in. I went yesterday and I forgot how grand it was, like the whole everything. So it's really nice to have this. You're really transported through that little hall, and you're in that dim space, and you're really transported with the work and have that really nice moment with it. And Firk has already kind of answered this, but what are your hopes for viewers as they engage with the work?
I think for me personally as an artist, it's so awesome getting people's reactions to the work. Our nieces and nephews went and they sent us a video of it and they're describing it and they're like, it's a banana kitty, it's a purple lolly. And I think it's exciting to see what it sparks in people's brains and what associations they make. And I hope, my main hope is that people feel passionate about noticing details in their own life and maybe like getting really excited about like a beautiful sparkling water or something. That's what I hope. I think the world around us can be really, really beautiful, and I want people to notice that. Steph from Plomacy put my name forward for this work. So this is presented in association with Plomacy, which is a really epic space in Ponsonby Central, and it's a dynamic experience experimental art gallery, and you should all totally go and check it out. It's so cool. So, yeah, thanks, Plomacy. You guys are awesome.
Shout out, Steph.
That was Freya Burnett and accompanying artist Fergus Waveforms speaking to Maya about Essence, currently on at the Arts House Trust at Parr Homestead, presented in association with Plomacy. The show is on until the 22nd of March.
Oh, that's a good art.
You're listening to Various Artists on 95BFM. We'll be right back.
I am feeling very warm right now. Please, don't disappear. I am spacing out with you. You are the most beautiful entity that I have ever dreamed of. I will protect you in your dreams. I will be your angel. You worry so much about not having enough time together. It makes no difference to me. I would be happy with just 1 minute in your arms. Let's have an extended play together. Telling me that we live too far to love each other, but our love can stretch farther than the eye can see. So, how does this make you feel?
How does it make you feel? How does it make you feel?
How does it make you feel?
make you feel?
Well, I really think you should quit smoking.
I believe in, like, the solar system. I believe in space. I really do believe in space.
Spaced Out. Josh Auraki from Auckland Stardome Observatory and Planetarium talks everything spacey on Spaced Out. 4:40 every other Tuesday.
Science. Yep, it's all around us. A rock. That's science. Sandals. That's science too. My wife calling me to tell me to pick up some milk. You'd never know it, but that's science too. But where and what day do we go to find out about more science?
Dear Science, join the Tuesday Wire team as they speak to a rotating roster of boffins and brainiacs chatting about discoveries, controversies, and general scientific wonder. Dear Science, every Tuesday Wire on 95BFM. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
Future sounds from the underground.
The hottest new tracks from Aotearoa and around the world.
Totally Wired.
Sounds from up to 2 weeks in the future.
Next month even.
Some of these tracks are like 2027 vibes, bruv.
A great amount of energy.
Totally Wired with Hunter. Tomorrow's music today, 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Only on 95BFM. Thanks to Flying Out. flyingout.co.nz.
Various artists, so you can go to the opening for more than just the snacks.
After the Undercurrents is a new exhibition bringing together the work of two senior painters, Australian artist Gordon Bennett and Tamaki-based Emily Karaka, opening tonight at Artspace Aotearoa. Gordon Bennett was a Brisbane-based artist who is widely recognised as one of Australia's most significant and critically engaged contemporary practitioners. His practice moved between these different phases, from often more abstract forms to his conscious appropriation of Basquiat to create these cross-cultural dialogues, to the work made under the name of John Citizen as a means to question identity and politics of categorisation in Australian art, seeking to map alternative histories and question the status quo through these various forms. His work has been paired with Tamaki-based painter Emily Karaka, whose practice draws on the personal and political through these diverse art-making traditions, vibrant colours and historical narratives that guide her. Grounded in the cultural and political landscape of Aotearoa, her work articulates emotional intensity and her unique perspective, speaking to her long-standing advocacy for kaitiakitanga and mana motuhake. In After the Undercurrents, with both artists drawing on their respective narratives of place and Indigenous worldviews, the pairing allows the viewer to contemplate Artspace Aotearoa's annual question for 2026, which asks, which history? I had a kōrero with Kaitohu Director of Artspace Aotearoa, Ruth Buchanan, about the show and Gordon Bennett and Emily Karaka's respective practices.
Kia ora, ko Taranaki te maunga. For Kaitohu or Artspace Aotearoa nei, called Ruth Buchanan Aho. I'm director at Artspace Aotearoa on Karangahape Road.
After the Undercurrents is bringing together the work of two senior painters, Australian artist Gordon Bennett and Tamaki-based Emily Karaka. I guess to start off with speaking about the show, would you like to introduce both artists for our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I think in many ways their work speaks for itself, so I do really encourage people to get along and see the show. But both Emily and Gordon, really, really important to their individual context. So Emily here in Aotearoa and Gordon in Australia. And I guess visually their works look really, really different, which is an exciting thing to work with in an exhibition, like bringing together sort of friction or tension, things that don't naturally have a visual affinity, but what does connect them is the undercurrent within their work. And they've both, in their careers, stridently critiqued the status quo and really draw our attention to the complexity of living in coloniality through really dynamic painting practice primarily, although both of them do other things as well.
I want to ask a little bit more about Gordon Bennett's work, because it's kind of gone through these different phases. It's had these often more abstract forms to his conscious appropriation of Basquiat to create these cross-cultural dialogues, to the work made under the name of John Citizen as a means to question identity and politics of categorisation in Australian art. Are you able to speak to the works that Artspace Aotearoa has acquired for this exhibition and where they kind of sit within Bennett's wider practice?
Yeah, we've been really lucky to work closely with his estate. So Gordon died in 2014. So that the estate's looked after by his wife, Leanne Bennett. And I guess what was really important for us was to present in a really compact way the depth and breadth of his practice. So we've honed in on some key examples which we think touch on the aspects you've just described. So we've got one early painting that is a really excellent example of him describing through depiction, I guess, the unevenness of telling the colonial story. And then we've got specifically one of the Margaret Preston works where he, Margaret Preston was a white Australian painter who appropriated Aboriginal Shield artwork, and then Gordon has copied hers one-to-one. So he's kind of doing this complex digestion of appropriation and I guess essentially power. So we've got these two distinct critical paintings. And then one of the things that Gordon did in the sort of mid-2000s was he decided he needed to have a break from depicting the pain of coloniality visually. So he consciously swerved into abstraction as a way to sort of retreat. But I guess that's a form of protest too, you know, quietly commenting. And we've got a really brilliant example of one of those black and white paintings from his abstract series. And then we've got a fantastic suite of etchings made while he was in France, which do, again, a little bit what you've described, show his complex wrangling with pop culture, but also definitely very much contemporary art history. So there's this great sort of entanglement that happens, or triangulation that happens between himself and that broader context in which we as contemporary artists work. And then lastly, we've got an example of his video and performance work where he is dressed in a plague mask and dancing to Ice-T's Race Wars. And it's an incredibly powerful film that just feels so timely right now.
You mentioned before these kind of threads that run between and connect both of their works conceptually as two artists with practice so grounded in their respective narratives of place and Indigenous worldviews in Aotearoa and Australia. And I guess with those two things, where their kind of role as artists sits, what kind of drew you to pair them together for the show, or maybe what excites you about this curatorial pairing?
I think for me, what excites me is the visual friction, that they don't naturally sit next to each other in a visual way, but they sort of conduct energy together through the space. So it feels very physical when you're in the gallery with their artwork. And I guess what we were thinking about was that really important role that artists can play in shaping and thinking towards alternative futures. And I think both of them are excellent examples of artists who really ignite the creative imagination and the way that artists can have impact on social behaviour, on social structures and thinking and practices, not just within the artist's community, but also in their wider whānau groups. But then, of course, how that connects to, you know, the bigger bureaucratic structures that we live within.
In pairing the two of their practices, were there any connections between the works or Emily Karaka and Gordon Bennett as artists that surprised you or stood out to you in putting together this exhibition?
One of the beautiful things about them both is they really both have a strong interest and affinity with Colin McCann. So Colin McCann was really important to Emily as she was emerging as a painter, and she had a friendship and mentorship with him. And Gordon Bennett from afar was really interested in the way Colin was grappling with cultural identity and language in his paintings. So both of them have that beautiful undercurrent, which I think is really interesting for Aotearoa audiences to kind of check in with how our art history here in Aotearoa has you know, seeped out to our Australian neighbour. And then the other thing is their shared use of language. They both use language really clearly within their artworks, and that's been a really, you know, exciting thing to spend time with, that different way that a painter might articulate through words as well as through colour, texture, scale and all those other things from their toolbox.
This is Artspace Aotearoa's first show of 2026, which is marking the first exhibition seeking to answer or explore the gallery's annual question, which asks this year, which history? Before we get into speaking a little bit more as to how that connects to this show and these artists specifically, I'd love to know a little bit more about behind your process as a director and deciding how you define the programming year conceptually. Are you able to speak to this year's question and your thinking behind it?
I guess just for us as an organisation, looking around at the world in which we're asked to live in, which does feel pretty intense geopolitically, environmentally, ethically, maybe even spiritually, and lots of what we're asked to deal with today as a result of what's happened before. So how did we get here? And for us as an organisation, thinking through history as a way to really connect with what's happening now. And I suppose the idea of working through this complex question with a range of practitioners, artists, writers, thinkers, curators, educators, will, we hope, allow us as an organisation, but also the audiences that come through our space, to scratch away a little bit at some of those things that we take for granted in terms of why is A like this? You know, what's the why, the how, and the what of our daily lives? And what I guess we find really exciting with these questions is they often have a sister question. There's often something that you naturally ask in company with the core and your question. So with which history, the natural sister question for us is which future? And it feels really right to think towards the future with our creatives.
That's really beautiful, and I think, such a lovely way to connect two parts of Artspace Aotearoa's kind of grounding, kaupapa, these kind of ideas of our roles as artists or where that sits within our political context is, really beautiful and important to explore. Coming back to this show, and I feel like you've kind of answered it as we've been speaking, but how do you kind of see this question being explored through the works of Bennett and Karaka specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately it's the way that they live with that creative imagination. They're not scared to ask the hard questions, and definitely when you come in and see the show, you'll know what I mean, but that they use the creative imagination to scrutinise, to critique, but also to celebrate. You know, they do that full body artistic work of grappling with the paradox of what it is to live in contemporary society. They don't shy away from the hard bits, but they definitely do offer really incisive and often beautiful, surprising treasures in there. Certainly, particularly thinking of Emily's work, where it's so many detailed layers of colour and depiction, there's really just a lot of treasures to discover. And then I guess with Gordon, he's very, his sense of, you know, his use of a dry sense of humour is kind of comforting. So I feel like they, for us, were just absolutely the perfect artists to start exploring which history and the company of.
For those who do come and see the show, do you have any hopes for viewers engaging with the works?
I just hope that they will allow that bombasticness of the show to wash over them. We've sort of been talking about it as a blend of an electrical storm and a deluge, so there is a lot of intensity in the work, and I do hope audiences give themselves the time to kind of take in the layers that are the dynamic layers that are at play in both the practices, and then allow themselves a bit of time to think about how Gordon's work and Emily's work can be in a really interesting conversation. And I guess yeah, taking those experiences out into the world with them. It's always great when you leave a gallery and feel like you were asked a question that you can carry with you for the rest of your day. So that's what I would hope. We'd love to see everyone at the opening tonight at 6 p.m. at Ongstanga Happy Road, and just encourage everyone to take a look through our Instagram or website to follow the events program, because there's lots of really great things happening in parallel with the show to support audiences to connect with it more closely.
That was Kaitohu Director of Artspace Aotearoa, Ruth Buchanan, speaking to me about Gordon Bennett and Emily Karaka after the Undercurrents, which opens tonight from 6 till 8 p.m.
Yes, darling, but is it art?
We will be right on back to give you your arts guide. In the meantime, this is MJ Lindemann's version of Dancing in the Club by This Is Lorelei.
Yeah. It's the 95 BFM Art Guide on various artists.
It's paintings in that.
This week in the wonderful world of art in Tamaki Makaurau, as mentioned on the show, Freya Burnett and accompanying artist Fergus Waveforms Essence is on at Arts House Trust at Pa Homestead until the 22nd of March. As also mentioned on the show, Gordon Bennett and Emily Karaka After the Undercurrents opens tonight at Artspace Aotearoa from 6 till 8 p.m. Also opening tonight at Michael Lett is Julian Dashba's Midwestern Unlike You and Me from 6 till 8 p.m. as well. Irunga Unga Puke, Travels Over Feeling by Jamie R.H. is on at Window Gallery until the 11th of February. This weekend is your last chance to check out The Odor of Smoke, an exhibition curated by Christina Barton, on at Treadler Gallery. Bill Hammond, Serenading Imagined Worlds, as well as Jack Hadley's Assemblies are on at Te Uru Waitakere Contemporary Gallery until the 22nd of February. And Elise McDermott's Pop Sediment and Tia Barrett's Pātakawā are both on at Room until the 21st of February. If you have something you want on the Art Guide, you can email us at arts@95bfm.com.
That was the 95BFM Art Guide.
Ko ira te hōtaka katoa mō tēnei wiki, nei te mihi kia katoa I kōrero mai ki māua mō tēnei rā. That's all for us on various artists for today. Ngā mihi nui to everyone who spoke with us, Ruth Buchanan, Freya Burnett and Fergus Waveforms. Nei rā hoki te mihi kia katoa e whakarongo ana, thanks for tuning in. Remember you can listen back to all of today's pieces on 95bfm.com or check out our Instagram at 95bfm various artists for more. Ka hoki mai mātou, te rā wiki. Next up is The Land of the Good Groove with Mari. My name is Sophia and that was various artists. We won't catch you next week because it's Waitangi Day, but we will catch you the week after that. You're listening to BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.